12 scriptural values for healthy house churches. And basically, I'm putting in this one little section here, about 15 minutes, or 15 to 20 minutes, I'm putting a lot of things we've been teaching in this entire course. But just so you can have it in one setting, you can write these down. Number one is the first value we need to have, the first scriptural value. Value is something you die for. Remember, vision is where, is where you're going. Value is something that's deep in your heart. When you work with a team of people, for example, you're going to have the same vision, but you must eventually have the same values. If you do not, eventually the team will tear down. I have learned over many years of leadership, before I give you these 12 values, that for any team to work together long term, you must have four commonalities. Number one, you must have commonality of vision. We're going the same direction. Number two, you must have commonality of values. Values are those things you die for, things you really believe. You might have to work with somebody 5 years, 6 years, or 10 years to find what are the true values in their heart. Eventually, it'll come out. Number three is procedure. How are you going to do it? If you're called a house church, that's a different kind of procedure than a community church. It's a different kind of procedure than mega church. So you're called a house church, you're called to that procedure. The people that work with you need to be called to that same procedure if you're going to work with you long term. And number four, you must have God-given relationship, healthy relationship. And if you break down on one of those areas, vision, values, procedure, relationship, the team that you're serving will no longer be effective and there will be problems. Most church planning teams, or I should say many church planning teams, start out lots of faith. You're down the road, some people are leaving, initial people are gone. Why? Because there were some differences, usually in values. See, you can use the same terms. That's like the word elder means one thing to one person in one movement, means something is totally different to somebody else in another movement, or in one nation or another nation. The word apostle means one thing in one nation, may mean something else to somebody else. So, why do I say that? Because when you're building a team, as much as possible, talk about those four areas. Your vision, write it down. Your values, what are the things you really believe? Do you believe that women can be in leadership? That's a value. I mean, on and on. We can go many different. Do you believe that God supernaturally works today by His Holy Spirit? Do you believe He does miracles today? That's a value. So if you're working with people who see that differently, and we'll be in heaven together, it's wonderful, but to work together, we need to have the same values. Same procedure. House church is a procedure, a way to do church. House church networking is a procedure. And then the fourth area, as I said, is relationship. It's all built on relationship, but it's not just relationship. And that's why some people, when they come together, and if I can use this analogy here, and these four squares, vision, values, procedure, relationship, you can come together, be in the same family, have great relationships, and this is going to be awesome. And 2 years down the road, things fall apart. Why? Because there may be different values or maybe procedure. And even though the relationship may have been good, and it can then affect the relationship. Now, I've learned something else about church planting, house church planting, any kind of church planting. I've learned that some people, when you start a house church, are like bricks on the wall. I mean, they are here. They are bricks on the wall. They'll be here till the Lord comes back. There are bricks on the wall, stones on the wall, built together. Other people who help you are what I call scaffolding. So I can't quite reach this, but if I had a scaffolding here, I'd stand on the scaffolding, and I'd be able to get this brick up here on top. Scaffolding. Now what happens when the wall is completely built? If this whole wall was built with all these stones, then the scaffolding comes down. It's no longer needed. Some people are called by God to be scaffolding. They'll come and help you start, but it's just for a season of time. And then eventually they'll be going and think, what did I do wrong? You didn't that do anything wrong. They were called to be scaffolding. They will probably go and help somebody else do the same thing. And it's okay. You say, how do I know if somebody's scaffolding or bricks? You may not know. Just know that if change happens, it's okay. But for long term, consistency, building together, seeing the kingdom of God built through a house church network, we need to be on the same page with basic scriptural values. Now, I'm going to give you 12 values. 12 scriptural values for a healthy house church and a healthy house church network. Number one, we're called to prepare for the harvest. We're called to prepare for the harvest because there is a harvest coming. And I will read all these scriptures because we won't have time in this session. But the Bible says in Matthew chapter 9 and 37, He is the Lord of the harvest. Pray for laborers. to bring forth for the harvest. And so we're preparing for harvest. The reason that we need house churches is because there's a harvest coming. And many who come will not fit into the institutional church. I remember well when I was a young man, the Jesus movement hit America from the West Coast to the East Coast. I remember people filled barns, young people, they called them hippies in those days, long hair, in Lancaster, Pennsylvania, where I lived. They were filled, it was exciting, all these new things God was doing, all these people coming to Christ, no Christian background. It was just a God thing. It's something that God had done. But we needed new wineskins. We needed new churches. About 10 years ago, where I live in Lancaster, Pennsylvania, we had a move of God among young people. And some young people came out of Youth with a Mission, moved back home, began to pray, said, we're concerned about the young people of our area. They started a Bible study. One of the main leaders was killed in a car accident. And the fear of God came on these young people. And soon there was more than 1,000 young people every week. Every week gathering together, young people coming to Christ, it was another move of God. I mean, it was in newspapers, it was in television programs. It was just a God thing that he did. But it was for harvest. And these young people, when they came into the kingdom of God, get right with God, many of them today are in new churches that were formed in our community. Not all, but many. Because there's a need for new wineskins for the new wine. So, why do we need new house churches? What's the value? The harvest. Let's reach people for Jesus. Number two, the second value is to teach. We want to teach people how to know Jesus. And you can only get so much from a sermon with 100 or 1,000 or 20,000 people. Praise God for good preachers and good sermons. But much of it is just learning one-on-one. I remember when I was a young pastor of a house church, and we had a young man. He was a fairly new believer, and he said to me one day, he said, I don't understand all the $1,000 words that's always being preached in these big churches and these churches. He said, I need someone to explain to me in layman's terms and regular terms. I remember another, but see, when someone sat with him and explained it to him, he understood it, because we're helping him know how to walk with Jesus, how to pray, how to read the scriptures. I had another friend, and he said, Larry, I'm afraid to pray publicly. I've never done that. I said, I'll help you. We had a little house church that met at 6 o'clock in the morning. A bunch of guys got together. And I said, I'll help you. I said, what should I do? He said, sometime I'm not expecting it. Ask me to pray. I said, sure. Love to do that. So I remember it was 6 o'clock in the morning. We had a little breakfast there, a little coffee, and we were going to pray. And we had a bunch of prayer requests. And I thought, this is the day, and I asked him to pray. His eyes got real big, but he did it. And he went on and gave leadership, and later on, different kinds of leadership in the church. But what happened was, it happened because of a house church where people together were learning together and growing together. It wasn't just going to a meeting and seeing the back of somebody's head. Value number three is the value of reaching the lost. So we're preparing for harvest, teaching people to know Jesus and to pray, and then we are focusing on outreach and reaching the lost. And again, we had a whole session on that before, but I simply want you to know, I want to say it again, the church is not a hospital. Yes, there's a medical unit, helps people get healed up, but it's not a hospital. But the Church of Jesus Christ is an army, and we're called to see people come into the kingdom of God. Let's keep our focus always on the extra chair. Keep our focus always on who are the people in our oikoses that we can reach for Jesus. Number four, we focus on the Great Commission. We've been talking about that throughout this entire course. Prayer, evangelism, discipleship. We're called to make disciples. We're going to talk more about that when we talk more about mentoring and spiritual fathering and spiritual mothering. You know, it's really interesting. The world system understands making disciples. It's the church that is kind of slow. I mean, really, I flew here in an airplane. And I'm glad when I was in Newark Liberty Airport yesterday, and I flew here to Michigan to do this course, I am very glad to know that the pilot had some training, was discipled. He was discipled properly. I'm glad when I got in the plane, he didn't say, hello, I've never done this before, but I was on YouTube and I think I know how to fly a plane. I said, let me off this plane. You know, how would you feel? You go to a doctor and he says you have appendicitis and you have to go to a hospital and have to have your appendix taken out. And the doctor says, man, I'm glad you're here. I've never done this, but I looked it up and I Googled it and I found out how to do it. He said, this is crazy. No, that doctor was discipled. He was discipled. And the same thing is true for us. We're called to make disciples. That is a value. It doesn't just happen. It's a kingdom value. House church is a great place to make disciples. Seeing the church as people and not a building is a value. We've talked a lot about that already in this course. The church is people. again, it's not just having a meeting someplace, or it's not saying, well, my church is that building. No, church is not a building. It is people, and we already talked about that. It's the called out ones. Number six, the believers are called to do the work of ministry. I often talk about what's called a holy man myth and a holy building myth. Holy building myth is people think, well, in the building, that's where God is. Well, he's there because you're there, because Christ lives in you. That's why he's there. He's in the car when you're driving down the road just as much as in a church building or church sanctuary, as we often call it. No, he's in our house when we have a house church. That's where Jesus is. He comes in us, and together we're experiencing Jesus in our midst. And that's what we need to be released to train others in these very important truths. The church, number seven, is built through trust and relationships. It's trust and relationships. It's the, as I mentioned earlier in our training, it's the living stones being built together into a spiritual house. It's the mortar of relationships. It's all about relationship. It's relationship with God and relationship with people. And that is the value we hold for healthy house church ministry. I meet pastors, and you know, they say, well, yeah, we have relationship at our church. I say, really? If you have a group of 100 people, 200 people, 500 meeting in a building, and again, if you have some kind of house fellowships, it can work. But if that's all you have, you see people sitting there seeing the back of somebody's head every Sunday, you don't have living stones built together. You have a truck that goes all over town, picks up stones, dumps them on a pile at your church building, and you say, that's living stones being built together. No, it's not. It's a pile of rocks. It's a pile of people not connected together. We're called to be connected through relationship. We expect spiritual multiplication, number eight. We talked about that already. God's creation is characterized by multiplication, and we expect multiplication to happen. Number nine, God is the God of flexibility and creativity. Every snowflake is different, and every house church is different. I remember I was speaking to a group of leaders, and a lady came up to me and said, our house church, we meet. It was like a small group house church. We meet at 12 midnight every week. I said, 12 midnight? Why do you do that? She said, we work second shift. We're off work at 11. We're ready to worship God and hang out together. I said, great, I'm in bed at that time. That's fine for me. But see, there's a sense of flexibility and creativity in the kingdom of God. In number 10 value, we're called to empower God's people. It's all about empowerment. It's empowering other people to be ministers, other people to do a job we hope will be better than we could ever do it. Others, like Elijah had Elisha, and expected a double anointing, expecting that on those whom we serve. And I've seen that again and again as I've served in the nations with those that have been trained. So we empower God's people. I had a house church leader came to our training, and he called it a house fellowship leader, I believe. He came to our training and he said, you know, we're doing everything. He said, we use our house. I do the teaching. We do everything. I said, make a list of all the stuff you're doing and ask the people. Anybody want to help? So he did that. He made a list. He came back the next time. He said, I made the list. He said, and I showed the people. I said, here's the house we meet in. Anybody else want to use the house? And we meet people at the door, and we have some coffee, and here's all the stuff we do and the teaching and all this. And he said, people took everything. He was shocked. Now, that doesn't usually happen, but they took everything. You know, 6 months later, that one house church became three house churches. And do you know why? Because people learned by doing. Because they had a chance to experience what God was doing. So we empower God's people. And number 11, here's a value. God's building teams. God is a team player. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit are a team. And he's called us to be teams also. You go to California, you ever see those big redwoods? You know, they're huge. And you know, the root system does not go very far in the ground. Do you know why they stand tall? Because they go out and interlock with one another. And that's why teamwork is so powerful. That's why I shared before. If you're a Walt Disney, find your Roy. If you're a Roy, then go find your Walt and share with him. And make sure as we build teams, we build with common vision, values, procedure, and relationships. And the last thing we'll take much more time on, and that is this. God's called us to raise up spiritual fathers and spiritual mothers. We're going to talk a lot more about that. How does that apply to house church ministry throughout the other sessions that we have together in this course on developing house churches?